Our reading today is actually John chapter 9. And John chapter 8 is very important when we come to John chapter 9 because it really sets up the context. And John chapter 9 just makes so much more sense when we've already had a look at John chapter 8. As we go through chapter 8, we're reading there that Jesus Christ is trying to get this message across, and that particularly towards the end of it, he is being challenged and has a bit of a run-in with the Jews, meaning in this case the leaders of the Jews. So when we come to John chapter 9, Jesus, having left the temple, is now gone out of the temple in Jerusalem, and as he goes out, he passes by a blind man. And we read that he was a blind man from birth, meaning that he'd never seen. He had never had or experienced sight before. Now, some of us wear glasses and we worry about our sight because things aren't as clear as they used to be. But here is an example of the Lord Jesus Christ coming across someone who's never seen anything before. And of course, we're going to be drawn to the concept here that until Christ came, there wasn't a light to see. There wasn't something to see. There wasn't a light to the world in terms of salvation before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And as they pass by this blind man, his disciples say to him, you know, did this guy himself sin, or did his parents sin? Why is this man in this situation? And of course their thinking was, well, you know, if it was him that sinned, he's got this blindness as a result of his sin, then how could he as a child have sinned? And this was not an unusual view that was held at that time. And there's examples elsewhere, particularly in the Gospels, when they talk about the tower falling on them. And Jesus says, you know, rain falls on the just and the unjust, kind of principle there. But we might think it's very odd that someone could say that, you know, this person who was from birth the defect, he must have done something wrong, there must be a problem with this person. We've got to take into account that being the people of God, they had already received the blessings of Abraham, and particularly the blessings of Moses. If you go back to the law, you read at the close of Moses' life, he says, you know, if you do the right thing, God will look after you. And if you go off doing the wrong, worshipping idols and things like that, then God is going to bring trouble on you. And so there was a tendency amongst the people to apply that to everything that went wrong. And so they would read into situations God's intent when that was not what he meant back there. So Jesus explains to them, it was not that this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, night is coming, when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And notice the words that he chooses. He doesn't say, but the works of God might be displayed by him. He says, in him, in this blind man, the works of God are going to be displayed. Then he uses the analogy, we must work the works of him, that's God, who sent me while it is day. That is, while we can see, while we can do. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There's a tendency for us to say, well, I'm tired, therefore I can't do this. Or, I have a health issue that prevents me from doing God's will. Jesus challenges that mentality right here with this blind man. He challenges that. And he says, okay, we are all in this same boat. Whether we are blind, lame, whatever. We have those defects, or we have those challenges, that the works of God might be displayed in us. Not just to everybody else that we can overcome our challenges, but in us, to ourselves, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now this isn't the first time in these two chapters that the Lord Jesus Christ has had his fingers in the dirt, so to speak. in chapter 8, we read that when accusing the woman of adultery, an interesting situation because she'd been caught in the act, apparently, but it's only her that's being judged or condemned, and there's no sign of co-conspirator there, which is an interesting situation, and it begs the question what Christ was doing in this particular action of writing on the ground. And we read there in verse 6 of chapter 8, he wrote with his finger on the ground. And they continued to ask him. He stood up, said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And then again he goes back to writing on the ground. And so here again he is writing on the ground, having taken from himself and mixed what came from him with what was in the ground. And of course, this is a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for those of us who are created of the dust of the ground. And here Christ mixes that and puts it on the man's eyes. And note here that as soon as he did that, nothing happened. Nothing happened. He said to the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he went and washed. And the point is here that just to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't make us see. And doesn't in itself save us. We have to go. That is, we have to go and do the works of him who sent Jesus Christ. It's not enough for us in our lives and in our travels to merely read the words of Christ, to merely hear the gospel message. We have to do something about it. We have to go, and there is a commitment that is required of us to go and do that. And it is by the faith that this is so, that the works also come together with faith. And of course, we read down through there that the neighbours of those who had seen this blind man before didn't know who it was. They said, is this the same chap? Is this the same man? No, but it looks like him. And he had to convince them. He says, no, it's me. This is me. I am he who now sees. You imagine what it was like for that man, having never seen anything before, and to be able to speak to people knowing that that's them, that's their face. I can see that. He'd never experienced that before in his life. And note that he didn't go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is probably because Jesus Christ had probably moved just out of the vicinity of where this man was. And the man, never having seen Jesus Christ, didn't know what he looked like. He couldn't recognize who had healed him. Is it possible that we're a bit like that ourselves sometimes? A bit like this nameless man here? And it's worth thinking about the fact that he was nameless. How many miracles did the Lord Jesus Christ do? How many people did he heal? How many lives did he touch and affect throughout the entire gospel message? And we very, very rarely get to hear the name of the person that the Lord Jesus Christ affected the life of. The reason for that is because we are meant to see in all these people with all these different problems, with all these different challenges, ourselves and our own life. And it's very easy to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ and his work and then go and do nothing about it. But here is a man who challenges that. And that is what Jesus Christ is doing when he has done this miracle and says to go and wash and see. Because in the previous chapter, he says there, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. But Abraham was a man who was also told to go. And Abraham went. And of course, the Pharisees get a hold of this man and give him a hard time there. And they ask him what happened, and then they didn't believe him, and then they asked him to explain it again. And it said that the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, verse 18 of John chapter 9, until they called the parents of the man who received his sight and asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see? You get this incredible answer from the parents that say, yeah, well, we know he was born blind, but we don't know who fixed him. And he's old enough, ask him. The parents here are abrogating responsibility for what their child is about to say. You know, can you imagine that? Your child is hauled up before the magistrates and you leave him or her and you say, oh, you know, I'm not going to take responsibility for his actions. You know, what parent does that? What parent would leave their child to whatever's going to happen next? It's an incredible thing for these two parents to do. And the reason is given there in verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. Such was the difference between this man and his parents. And we know of many situations where one will come to Christ and another not. And children will and parents won't, and parents will and children won't, etc., etc. And Christ comments on that also earlier in the Gospel when he says, whoever forsakes his mother or father can be called one of mine. And this is a practical example of what he means by that, in that they're not prepared to believe. You have to leave that state of unbelief before you can truly see the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. And so we go down through there. I don't want to get into all that argument there because that's repeated in, it's a repeat of a lot of the discussion and the viewpoint that the Pharisees were saying. And we actually know this section rather well. And then they said to him, you were born in utter sin. Again, going back to that situation where belief, he was born blind, therefore there must be something wrong with him. You were born in sin, as if they weren't, and say the man has nothing to tell them, to teach them. And of course, they throw him out of the temple. The same temple that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the previous chapter, had walked out of when they tried to stone him. And then we come to verse 35 of John chapter 9. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? He says there. And note what's happened here. This is the first time that the man has actually laid eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ ever. Jesus Christ healed him earlier, and then Jesus comes back the second time and says, do you believe, Son of Man? How different would that be in our situation? How similar a situation do we find ourselves? We have been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have gone and washed in the pool of Siloam. Siloam, of course, meaning sent. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And for the first time, we will see him. And the first thing he asks is, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man, or the man who had been blind, answered the Lord Jesus Christ and said, who is he, sir? What does he look like that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. You saw him before, and you hear him now. And of course the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said in verse 39 of John chapter 9, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, that those who see may become blind. Back in chapter 8, he says, of hearing, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. He says earlier, John chapter 8, verse 42, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. That is, you can see me, I am here. I came not of my own accord, but because he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Unlike the blind man, who could only hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but could not see him. And now he sees him face to face. Come over quickly to John chapter 2, the Epistle of John chapter 2. 1 John 2, I'm going to read there from the end of the chapter, Actually, chapter doesn't quite break properly here. It starts, we're going to read from verse 28, and this actually goes over into chapter 3. He says there, John speaking to his fellow disciples, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears," that is, when he comes the second time to seek out us, "we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him." Practices righteousness. Those who go and do, not just those who have been touched. "See," he says, chapter 3, "see what kind of love the Father has given to us. See it. That we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, when we see him, we shall be like him, because we see him as he is." Just to finish off John chapter 9, back in verse 40 there, some of the Pharisees, of course, heard these things that were being said by Jesus then, and they said, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." And so it is, brothers and sisters, that if we think we see, we need to take a double check on that, and remember that we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he will be, not just as the sacrificial lamb, but as the judge, the one who will come to us the second time and say, "Do you believe?"